Welcome to a response of the day for the 13th day of Elul, as Rosh Hashanah fast approaches. Today we're going to study a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein's about the question of whether one can make use of the shoes of the deceased. This is from Shut Igrot Moshe, Yeredei Achilek Gimel, Simon Kuf Lamed Gimel. And I want to start by thanking Rabbi Jack Abramowitz and David Hachhauser and the OU for helping us make this shiurim available to you. And I want to also preface it by pointing out that sometimes there's an act in the world which has a sort of a factor, an emotional factor for people, or an instinctive reaction for people, which is not necessarily the halacha's reaction, one point, and then point two is not necessarily the only reaction. So I think today many people have a visceral reaction to the idea of wearing clothing that once belonged to somebody who passed away if they know about it. Some people don't, but I think there are people who do. So I think there are people, you know, sadly, let's say somebody was 150 years old, and they lived a long, happy, and healthy life, they passed away. So relatives will take jewelry, let's say, I think maybe is common, but I'm not sure that they feel so comfortable necessarily wearing clothing of the person who passed away, and it's unclear, and the question would be, what's that feeling about? Our concern is whether there's a halakhic element to that issue. Is it true? And the case here is going to be the case of shoes. So let's say somebody passes away. Now, there are many, many different ways that people can pass away. So for our example right now, we're going to assume the person we're talking about was on an airplane that was shot down, you know, that was destroyed, and everybody on the plane, sadly, died, right? Lockerbie, Scotland, right? There was a Pan Am flight, I think, or, a plane that went down, and the people on the plane were going back through their possessions back wherever they lived, and you find a pair of shoes, and it's a nice new pair of shoes, barely worn, and you think, it's a nice pair of shoes. So let's for now have that be the question that comes before us. It's from the 13th of Elul of Tavshin Chav Tet of 1969. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein was talking about. He says there are people who don't wear the shoes of the deceased because there is a tzava'a of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Let's remember that in Jewish literature, a tzava'a, which we today is the word for a will, and it means that, but tzava'ot from Jewish history are very often much more about the last advice of the deceased and how people should conduct themselves than about the specific possessions. For many, many of the greats of Jewish history, the amounts of possessions they had were either insignificant, or B, it was going to family members, it was clear it was. That wasn't the tzava. The tzava that became well known was their last words and testament about how they wanted their children to conduct themselves. There's an old book called Jewish Ethical Wills, I think by a guy named Israel Abrahams, where he collected many such tzavot, or a few such tzavot, which are very interesting to read and very enlightening. And there are others, you have find them in sort of the tshuva literature. Years ago, I found one, I think, by the Ridvaz, not the Radvaz, the Ridvaz, where my memory is, and I have to always look it up because I never find it, that he left a tzava, he left a command that he didn't want his sons saying Kaddish for him on any day they didn't learn a daf or two of Gemara, which I always thought was a very important comment to note. The people think of the Kaddish is the thing to do, but really the point of the Kaddish is to do a good deed in memory of the person who passed away and to be a merit to their souls, he said. Unless you're learning Torah, I don't need your Kaddish. So anyway, Tava of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is our topic today. One, that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, let's remember, is a figure from the 12th century in Germany, was the central figure behind a group that came to be known as Chassidi Ashkenaz, who had all sorts of interesting practices in just trying to deepen their spirituality, their connection to Hashem, and their fulfillment of what they thought of to be the Ritzon HaBorei, the will of Hashem. And they became attractive to Jewish academic scholars at some point, so there's a lot known about them, and some of their practices are included in Shulchan Aruch and have come to be accepted among Ashkenazic Jews. So one of the things that Yehuda Chassid said in his tzava'a, in his ethical will, was not to wear the shoes of somebody who had passed away. Min alayim shel mate. So that's the custom that people have. They think you don't wear the shoes of somebody who passed away. So this person went down in the plane, we come to the house, they've got, $1,000 shoes that we'd love to wear. Tzava'a of Yehuda Chassid, you don't wear the shoes. Is that how we have to act, that our practice? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says he's heard that Rav Yehuda Leib Tzirilson, who he I think has quoted several times that I've seen among his tshuvot, which is interesting because I don't think he quotes tshuvot that much, but Rav Yehuda Leib Tzirilson, who was the chief rabbi of Bessarabia, was born in 1859 and passed away in 1941. I note that because I once upon a time was writing an essay in Rav Moshe Feinstein about it. Chief of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he quotes Rav Yudah Leib Shulzer. I said, I don't know who this guy is. I couldn't find him online. Turns out I was misspelling his name. And there's a Wikipedia article on him in English. It's easy to find information about him. So he had heard that Rav Yudah Leib Shulzer had written in a tshuva that he thinks that the version, that it's wrong, that the Rav Yudah Chassid never meant to prohibit the shoes of a man or a woman who had passed away. He meant to prohibit the shoes of a meita, of an animal that had just died. Right? That meaning, often you take the leather, the hides of animals that have been shechted to be eaten. Those obviously are fine to use. That's where we get shoes. But if an animal just dies all of a sudden, so halachically there wouldn't have been a problem, but the Yudah Chassid was saying you shouldn't do it, and the reason was, based on a Gemara in the Kulin Tzadid Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara Kulin says that when you have an animal that just dies, you have to worry that maybe it died from the bite of a snake or something like that, a poisonous, some kind of a poison. And the worry would be that somehow the poison stuck into the leather, into the hide, and you're going to put on the shoes that are made from the hide, even after they've been treated, the poison will still be there, and the person will suffer from that and pass away, and therefore they shouldn't do it. So if that's the correct version of the tzava, of the ethical will of Yudah Chassid, it would mean that there's absolutely no halachic problem to walk into the closet of this person who sadly was, you know, killed on an airliner, and to use those shoes for relatives who would get benefit from them. That would be a way out of having to worry about that problem. Rav Moshe Feinstein says he thinks he shouldn't change the gear, so he shouldn't change the manuscript version of Yudah Chassid, because even if it's true that's what Yudah Chassid had derived from that Gemara in Chulin, it still tells us that when somebody passes away, that an animal passes away, you have to worry about that it got bitten by some kind of a venomous snake or other kind of insect, something that would leave a venom in it, that it teaches you that there's a worry that there's danger. Mishum l'sakana. In cases of danger, this is a halachic principle, but an interesting halachic principle. In cases of danger, we are choshesh. We worry even about that which is not found a lot, which is not out there. Now that, it's not that it's not a principle of the Gemara. It is a principle of the Gemara. It's just a principle, if I can pause and share some of my own thoughts, it's interesting to apply and figure out where to apply, because it does mean that we don't look at frequency. Right? That does mean that we don't look at how often these things happen. We say, well, if it's possible, we avoid it. But it's interesting because there are other things that are dangerous, that are possible, and yet we don't avoid them. Now, some of those things, because everybody does it, so we don't do it. Meaning, it's clearly much more dangerous. Rav Moshe Feinstein would have agreed, Rav Yudah Chassid would have agreed, clearly much more dangerous to drive in a car than to wear the shoes of animals that just happened to die, even, you know, and you don't specifically know that they were killed by a venomous snake, possibly even then if we know they were killed by a venomous snake, that all the treatments that we do, the leather, mean the odds that there's going to be any venom left over that are going to affect the person then wears the shoes is much lower. So that's an interesting question that I don't think I've seen dealt with in any kind of systematic way, is what we allow to count as sakana, as dangers in these situations, and therefore to go in a whole alternate set of rules that's not based on frequency or anything like that. In any case, Moshe Weiss's point was, let's say it's true that Yudah Chassid was addressing directly the question of a venom or of an animal that just happened to die because of the worry that it had been killed by something that will affect us, that creates a kind of issue. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but then if he meant that, then he clearly would have also meant a person, the shoes of a person who just died. So now we're going to shift it. Until now I've been using the uncomplicated case of somebody who was killed in a terrorist attack on a plane, or a plane that crashed and everybody was killed. Whatever the cases are, there are and not as many as people think, but there are enough planes that have gone down that it's an example, we know what it means. But let's complicate a little bit. Now let's talk about a person who passed away, and they passed away from an infectious disease. Right? God forbid somebody passes away from Ebola. Right? So their shoes, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, clearly, if Yudah Chassid was going to be worried about the shoes of an animal, a shoes made from the hide of an animal that passed away, and we don't know how it passed away, and therefore we have to worry that passed away because of venom, all the more so, the shoes, for sure, of a person who passed away of an infectious disease, but then also the shoes of a person who passed away, and we don't know what they passed away from. Somebody just passes away, we don't know what they passed away from, so you can use those shoes, so the same worry applies for Spice. If you're going to worry about venom, about a snake bite, on an animal, a person who passed away for no good reason might have had an infectious disease that we don't know about. And therefore, since we worry in cases of sakana, in cases of danger, for even sakanot, even dangers that are not very critically found, and I stress again that I'm not sure what the standards of that are, and I don't know that anybody has defined them so exactly, because there are plenty of much more common dangers that we don't worry about. So that'll be an interesting question to think about. But in this case, that's what we're talking about here. If this is where the tzava of Yehuda Chassid comes in, then it's still got to be in a case where we don't know how the person passed away, right? Because it can't be, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you can't tell me, he said, nope, don't use any people who passed, the shoes of any people passed away, because perhaps we're going to go from there to use the shoes of a person who passed away of unknown causes. And as soon as the person who passed away of unknown causes, we have to worry that it was because of an infectious disease, etc., etc. So Rich Feinstein says, no, he went that far. Meaning, the terrorist attack person, the person who died in a plane crash, plane flew into a mountain for no good reason, but he was on the plane, she was on the plane, we have, you know, thousands of dollars worth of Manolo Blahniks or Jimmy Choo's or whatever the shoes are, no reason why you can't use those shoes. So Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests, but perhaps what Rav Yehuda Chassid meant to include was the shoes of a person who passed away, and the buyer doesn't know what the person passed away from, that even if the seller says he passed away or she passed away from a disease that's not mitabek, a non-infectious disease, or from old age, or, you know, a sudden heart attack, and we know that it was a heart attack, or something like that, or he was shot, God forbid, we can't, we can't trust non-Jews about these things, because non-Jews won't respect our standards as much as the worry, and therefore they'll just say what they say, meaning, this would be an example. Let's suppose there were Jews, God forbid, who were so poor. There are Jews who are very poor, and it's a very sad thing for them. And let's say they have to go to, let's say, a Goodwill kind of a organization, and the Goodwill is selling shoes or giving away shoes. The Salvation Army has shoes. And I say, where did these shoes come from? And they say they came from a person who passed away. I mean, if a person is donating them who's alive, that should be okay. But if they came from a person from an estate sale or an estate bequest to Goodwill, Rav Moshe Feinstein is suggesting that I wouldn't be allowed to trust the non-Jews who say, and you should know this person passed away from a well-known cause that has nothing to do with an infectious disease, right? Cancer, let's say, is not infectious, so they died of cancer, or they die, or they tell me they died in a terrorist attack. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying that he thinks that Tzavar Rav Yehuda Chassid might mean that because we have to treat it as a possible danger situation, we would not be allowed to believe those non-Jews because their standards for what they think of is very, very different than our standards. They might think that since I know that it's vanishingly, you know, an unimportant percentage of people who for whom this is actually a problem, so they'll say it, and especially if they're selling it, they'll say because they want to make money. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, even if they're giving it away, they want to make, they want to be a person who's giving away something, and they get a benefit and goodwill and things like that from it, and therefore we can't believe them because they will follow those standards. Now, I find it, that's a reminder also, that today, there are probably many Jews who would follow those standards, who would say, why should I follow the Sakana issues? That's a whole question about how we absorb or experience areas of halacha where the Gemara and or those who came later set up a principle that's not a specific right or derabbanan principle. They say, here's a kind of a danger that we're supposed to worry about. And let's say we today don't think of it as a danger. That's an interesting set of questions that Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't weigh in on. It's not my place to editorialize. And I think it's an interesting set of questions to think about that. And that's about reception of a tradition and how much we accept tradition and how much we question tradition and decide I'll only take those parts of tradition that appeal to me or that make sense to me. And then all of a sudden I put myself in charge of the tradition, not the tradition in charge of me. All set of questions. So he thinks of coming back to Rav Moshe Feinstein, he comes with the shoes. He thinks that would necessarily, even according to Yulei Tirlson about the manuscript version, it's really about the animal. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but it clearly applies to people as well. If we don't know how the person passed away, then we'd have to worry that the person passed away from an infectious disease, and that would mean even if a non-Jew was giving it to us or selling it to us, what happened, we wouldn't necessarily be able to believe them because they might allow themselves to bend the truth because they don't think it's a significant issue. That's different than saying we think they're going to lie. It's that they don't think it's a significant issue, so they don't think of it as a lie. They think they're just trying to help me get over my mishigas, but it's really perfectly great shoes that why should they want to use them? The important point for us, though, is Rav Moshe Feinstein is expressing a leniency here, not a stringency. He's saying, even if I'm following the tzava, the will of Rav Yehuda Chassid, I don't have to worry about the shoes of a person who passed away for a cause that I know they passed away. If I know the cause, right, plane flew into a mountain, then there's no reason to asher their shoes because there's nothing wrong with those shoes. Then he adds, Yudah Chassid doesn't actually tell us the reason. He just tells us not to do it. So you might say, and we say this about Torah law, for example, if the Torah prohibits something, it's just prohibited, and I'm not allowed to figure out the reason and say this thing that would seem to be prohibited by it, right? Torah law makes a blanket rule, and I say, no, it only meant these things. We're not allowed to do such things with Torah law, but here Moshe Feinstein says very clearly, even though the ethical will of Yehuda Chassid has things in there that we don't know the reason, the places where it makes sense, it's clear what the reason is, and we can figure out the reason and infer it, then we have the right to say that must be what he meant in the ethical will. And there's no reason to be more stringent and say, no, there's no reason, it's just a blanket rule. And therefore, and the man who had asked the question apparently had a brother who passed away from whatever cause, but it was not an infectious disease cause, it was not a cause that would leave anything. He says, and this is 1969, so let's also remember that there are times when, you know, the shoes could really be a benefit to somebody. Shoes are an expensive item sometimes. Some people buy shoes once a year, and they use it for, or less often than once a year, and they use it for a time. It could be a real economic benefit to them. So let's say the brother has five pairs of shoes, and the other brother's feet are the same size. That could be significant. So if there's no problem halakhically, and he doesn't have any emotional problems with it, then Rosh Feinstein says, yeah, you can wear the shoes, since you know how your brother passed away. Then Rosh Feinstein points out that aside from the Tzavav Yehuda Chassid, there's a Gemara, this Gemara in Chulin that we briefly mentioned before. It says, Lo yimkor sandal shel meita, you can't sell a shoe made of the hide of a dead animal, bichla, of an animal that died in some way, among those of a shkuta. Among sandalim, among shoes that are made from the hides of animals that have been shechted, meaning animals that have been shechted, we have every reason to think that they were healthy, they were shechted, they were killed, and therefore their hides are the ones that we easily and without a question use for shoes. Gemara says, you can't sell among them, without saying anything about it, the hides made for shoes made from the hides of animals that passed away, that just died, mineshim mat'eyu, because you're misleading the person, you're making him believe that it's of a shkuta animal, of a slaughtered animal, not of a dead of an animal that died on its own. Only because of danger reasons. So Moshe Feinstein says it's an odd gemara, it's a difficult gemara, because in terms of sakana, in terms of the danger, if there's an actual danger there, then I can't sell it to him even if I tell him that this is an animal that just died on its own and there might be danger there, because I can't sell it then. Let's say the buyer says, I don't care, I think it's okay. But we don't think it's okay, right? The Gemara seems to be assuming that this is an area where the sakana, the danger of the fact that the animal died on its own, means that we have to worry maybe there's venom there. If we have to worry maybe there's venom there, then you can't buy the shoes. So I can't sell them to him because he's doing the wrong thing by buying it. He's not allowed to buy it, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. So it should be a lifnei iver problem. It should be that I'm misleading him, or I'm guiding him, I'm helping him do something that's wrong, because even if he says, I don't care about my danger, I'm not allowed to let him, I'm not allowed to be part of helping him not care about danger. Now that issue of not helping somebody do something that's wrong, I think it comes up here, but it comes up in many, many places. It's important to remember that it's not only that we have to be upset when other people do things wrong, we have an actual prohibition about helping them. How far that prohibition extends is not the topic of this tshuva, so we won't do it here. We've done it, we've spoken about it in other places. There's a Torah prohibition of lifnei iver, of putting stumbling blocks before the blind, and there's a rabbinic prohibition of misayeh, of just helping people if they can do it on their own. Topics for other times, but it comes up here. So now I'm causing this person, the seller, is causing this, the buyer, to violate a prohibition, the prohibition being to put himself into danger. Another, again, the topic that's so interesting. So could a Jew help another Jew go skydiving, right, or parasailing? Would that count as dangerous? In this case, this is the danger that the Gemara brought up as a danger that should be on people's radars for whatever reason, and therefore there's a favor. But in fact, Moshe Feinstein says it might be that you're actually endangering the person, actually endangering him, and therefore he's an evir. And therefore, he thinks that Gemara can't mean that, because if it was actually the case that it sounds like, it's just so obvious that you're not allowed to do it, even if you told him. Right, the Gemara, the Brita seems to say you can't sell the dead animal ones among the slaughtered animal ones because of a problem. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but if you've got dead animal ones that are actually a sakana, that actually might have a danger to them because we really don't know how the animal has died, then that shouldn't be, not only can't sell them among the slaughtered animal ones, you can't sell them at all. Right, that because it's a leaf danger problem. And therefore, he says you got to understand the Gemara to mean that the mocher, the seller, knows how the animal died, knows the animal died in a way that doesn't involve any problem, any worry or concern for whoever wears the shoes. And therefore, if the seller were to tell the buyer, listen, these shoes are not from slaughtered animal hides. They are from an animal that died, but it died in this and this way. It died because it tripped over a rock and it hit its head and it died. And if the buyer were to believe them, right, sometimes the buyer is allowed to believe them. We said before, Moshe Feinstein thinks you're not allowed to believe non-Jews about these things because non-Jews come at it with a different set of standards, and therefore we can't trust that they will respect our standards and only tell us the truth as we understand the truth. But if the seller is a good, trustworthy Jew, and the buyer is allowed to trust the Jew, and so then you could have sold him, telling him what the cause was. But you're not allowed to do it by mixing them in with the shkuta ones. We'll get back to that in a second. But then Rav Moshe Feinstein makes this really interesting comment along the way. He says, because he's allowed to believe him, because with animals, you don't have to be so worried about a machala mitdabeket, an infectious disease. Right? We've been speaking about, in the case of people, we said we have to worry about the infectious disease. Because the animals, the example was always that it got a snake bite. Why not worry about the disease the animal had? So Moshe Feinstein says, 1969, the kimat leka. There are basically very few diseases that jump from animal to people or that cause problems for people. So we're going to get to pigs in a second. Pigs, it was known, could cause diseases. Pig diseases did where it was known transferred to human beings. He says from the hides of pigs. There's Gemara in Tanit, which makes it seem like that already in the time of the Gemara in Tanit, they knew that pig diseases could in fact travel to humans. There's a word for it. I think it's called xenobiology, which sounds like it should mean the biology of extraterrestrials. But I think xenobiology is also about diseases that travel from one species to another. It happens to be that in 1969, I'm not sure it was true, but I believe that the general assumption in the scientific community is that AIDS started with monkeys. And that however it happened, there was transmission from monkeys to people. That's an example of a disease that jumped. I think that Ebola might have jumped from people to monkeys, from animals to people. I don't know if it's monkeys, that situation. I think that, so I don't know what was true in 1969, but I think that in the decades since then, it's become less infrequent that diseases could go from animals to human beings, and therefore Rav Moshe Feinstein, if he were around today, might have adjusted this comment that he's making here. He's saying it's not so common for diseases. So in the case of pigs, it's well established. We already have a Gemara in Tanit that tells us that diseases jump from pigs to people, and that would mean that if you have shoes made of pig hide, right, a leather from pigs, you'd have to worry about it, and then you'd have to know the way the pig died before you'd be allowed to use that shoe. But he says you don't generally have to worry about it because it's not generally true that they make, in 1969 at least, in the experience of Rosh Feinstein, they make shoes from pigs. It could be today that they do make shoes from, I don't know what they would call it, pig leather? You know, the horse leather? Anyway, it's not so common. He says what they do, they eat the pig, and then they eat the leather of the pig. Right, that's what they eat, the hide of the pig. So that's not a danger and not a worry you have to have. So that's why the danger in general with animals is a bite, is a snake bite on the animal, not from a disease. So since that's relatively, you don't have to worry that people will just say, oh, no, I think he died from a natural cause when it was actually a snake bite. If it's a snake bite, you'll know it's a snake bite. And therefore, if it's a person you have the right to believe, then you're allowed to believe them. But even though that's true, so let's say I'm the seller right now. Let's say I'm a trustworthy person. Not saying either one of those are good assumptions, but let's say both of those assumptions are true. The Gemara is telling me, says Rosh Feinstein, that I'm not allowed, and I have shoes from a cow, that I know how it died. It didn't get slaughtered. It didn't get shkita. I know how it died. It didn't die by a snake bite. It didn't die by any kind of a disease, even if there were possibility of transference of diseases from cows to people. Didn't die. I know that that's true. But I don't want to get into it. I don't want to bother spending the time saying, listen, I know that this animal fell out, tripped over a rock, hit its head and died, and never even have to worry about it, and you can buy it. So I just say, I've got a bunch of shoes here, and they're all from animals that were slaughtered, right? Because I don't want to spend the time, right? Theoretically, I could have said, and I know they're all shoes that you're allowed to buy, and there's no problem, but that's not what I say. That's what's prohibited. First of all, he says it's prohibited because, Rosh Feig says it's prohibited because there's ona'at mamon. I am cheating the person. This is an important topic that's not the central topic at all of the tshuva. It's just a throwaway, but one worth considering, because that I, selling you the animal, the shoes made from the hide of an animal that died rather than was slaughtered, is cheating you, is fraudulent. Why? Because he says the leather of such an animal is not as strong as the leather, as the hot leather made from animals that have been slaughtered. I have no idea if that's considered to be true in the world of leather today, but Moshe Feinstein is claiming, I think he's claiming, that the act of slaughter in some way makes the leather, you know, band together somehow and become a stronger, better leather. I have no idea if that's true. Theoretically, if an animal died, I can imagine that if an animal died of old age, you could say, well, by virtue of the fact that it went through the whole aging process, that means the hide became looser in some way and not as strong. I can imagine that. But if I have two animals of the same age, same level of health, and one gets slaughtered and one trips over a rock, hits its head, and dies, I wouldn't have understood necessarily why that should be true. But that's very much a fight today. This is a financial issue. That's a reminder. Just a throwaway line, but it's a reminder that in financial issues, we really have to be very, very careful that we're not cheating people. And that we're letting people know what they have and what they're getting. Aside from that, though, I'm tricking this person into buying shoes that he's not supposed to buy, right? Meaning he's not supposed to buy these shoes until he's actually heard from me. And that I know how it died, and that I know what was going on, and that I'd be a person that he can trust. But if I were a person he couldn't trust, and I'm selling the shoes, even though I know, right? That's the other option. Let's say I'm a person he's not allowed to trust, and I know that how it died, but he's not allowed to trust me about that. And therefore, if he knew that these were shoes of an animal that had just died, he would have been required not to buy the shoes because he's got to worry about sakana, even though I'm assuring him there's not. So that's another tricking him that I'm doing, and that would be not allowed. And that's what the Gemara is talking about. That's what the Gemara in Chulin is talking about when it said you can't sell shoes of a meitav, an animal that just died, along the way. And then coming back to the original question, it means, though, that if somebody themselves know what happened to the shoes, the owner of a pair of shoes, the human owner of a pair of shoes, and it's not anything that the buyer or the person who's going to now inherit these shoes has to worry about, they are absolutely allowed to wear such shoes. And it's also true that if a person they're allowed to think of as trustworthy and they tell them what happened with the person, they're allowed to accept those shoes as well, or buy those shoes and wear those shoes. So it comes to the case of shoes. It seems to be about shoes, but not really about shoes. It's about ethical will of Yehuda Chassid. It's about the level to which we worry about danger and danger to life and what kinds of worries we incorporate. There are cases where Halakha tells us, in terms of maintaining the safety of our lives, we have to be extraordinarily careful, even worrying about eventualities that Halakha itself fully admits are not all that likely. What that means about how we conduct our lives elsewhere is really a very, very important question, and about questions of when we can believe people, when we can't believe people, and the kinds of interactions we have with people, what counts as information we're allowed to accept or not. And that is the main response we're going to do for today, the 13th day of Elul. Now, you know what, there's a brief tshuva of Moshe Feinstein about a completely different topic, but I don't want to get into it, and there are many times that I've gone overtime, so I will today stop myself here and say that is our responsible day for the 13th day of Elul. Have a great day.